The End of Average: How We Succeed in a World That Values Sameness. Author: Todd Rose. Against a Yardstick. From the cradle to the grave, you are measured against the ever-present yardstick of the average, judged according to how closely you approximate it, or how far you are able to exceed it. Today, however, we are on the brink of a new way of seeing the world, a change driven by the one big idea: individuality matters. This new idea will have a profound impact on our institutions. Instead of viewing talent as a scarce commodity, schools will be able to nurture excellence in every student, and employers will be able to hire and retain a wider range of high-impact employees. The Origins of Average. The untold story of how our society came to embrace the misguided notion of the average man began at the graduation of a young Belgian scientist by the name of Adolphe Quetelet. In the early 1840s, Quetelet declared that the individual person was synonymous with error, while the average person represented the true human being. He claimed that every one of us is a flawed copy of some kind of cosmic template for human beings. Quetelet dubbed this template the average man. For Quetelet, the average man was perfection itself, an ideal that nature aspired to, free from error. He declared that the greatest men in history were closest to the average man of their place and time. Average, imminent, and imbecile. But Quetelet is only half the story of how the age of average came about. The other half centers on Sir Francis Galton, who agreed with almost all of Quetelet's ideas, save one: the idea that the average man represented nature's ideal. Galton wanted to preserve Quetelet's idea that the average member of a group represented that group's type, but reject Quetelet's idea that the individual's deviation from average represented error. How did he resolve this apparent paradox? Through an act of moral and mathematical jujitsu. He redefined error as rank. Galton carved up humankind into 14 distinct classes, ranging from the imbeciles in the lowest rank, through the mediocre in the middle ranks, all the way up to the most eminent members of the highest rank. All of Galton's statistical inventions were predicated on what he called the law of deviation from the average, the idea that what mattered most about an individual was how much better or worse they were than the average. From Averaginism to Taylorism. How precisely did averagism go from an abstract ivory tower conjecture to the preeminent organizational doctrine of businesses and schools across the world? The answer to this question largely centers in a single man named Frederick Winslow Taylor. Born to a wealthy Pennsylvania family in 1856, Taylor skipped Harvard to work at Enterprise Hydraulic Works at the dawn of electrified factories, a time when making things, assembling things, and building things roused the same sense of world-conquering opportunity found today in Silicon Valley. Taylor contemplated the problems of the new era of factory production. Nobody really understood what was causing all the economic problems of the factory age, but Taylor was convinced that he knew their true source: inefficiency. He believed that he could systematically eliminate inefficiency from business by adopting the core precept of averaginism, the idea that individuality did not matter. According to Taylor, there was always one best way to accomplish any given process, and only one way, the standardized way. For him, there was nothing worse than a worker trying to do things his own way. The worker, once celebrated as a creative craftsman, was relegated to the role of automaton. The Science of Individuality. The main assumption of the science of the individual is that individuality matters. The individual is not error, and on the human qualities that matter most, individuals cannot be reduced to a single score. Three Principles of Individuality. Three principles of individuality, the jaggedness principle, the context principle, and the pathways principle, will help you understand what is truly unique about you, and more importantly, show you how to take full advantage of your individuality to gain an edge in life. 1. The jaggedness principle. The jaggedness principle holds that we cannot apply one-dimensional thinking to understand something that is complex and jagged. What precisely is jaggedness? A quality is jagged if it meets two criteria. First, it must consist of multiple dimensions. Second, these dimensions must be weakly related to one another. Each of the dimensions also must be relatively independent. The mathematical way to express this independence is weak correlations. What about our minds? Are mental abilities jagged? The Wechsler Adult Intelligence Scale, or WAS, WAIS, is one of the two most commonly used contemporary tests of intelligence. The correlations between each of the dimensions of mental ability assessed by the WAIS are, of the most part, not particularly strong, indicating that mental talent is jagged and cannot be described or understood by a one-dimensional value like an IQ score. Also, A one-dimensional evaluation of mental abilities is even more misguided than these intelligence profiles portray. If you subdivide intelligence even further and compare, for instance, short-term memory for words to short-term memory for images, scientists have shown that these micro-dimensions also exhibit weak correlations. No matter how fine you slice your mind, you are jagged all the way down. 2. The context principle. The context principle asserts that individual behavior cannot be explained or predicted apart from a particular situation, and the influence of a situation cannot be specified without reference to the individual experiencing it. In other words, behavior is not determined by traits or the situation, but emerges out of the unique interaction between the two. If you want to understand a person, descriptions of their average tendencies or essential nature are sure to lead you astray. Instead, you need a new way of thinking that focuses on a person's context-specific behavioral signatures. University of Washington professor Yushi Shoda is one of the top researchers in child development. Shoda approached human personality analytically and systematically, throwing out old assumptions. He thought there was a third way to think about personality, not in terms of traits or situations, but in terms of the way in which traits and situations interacted. Shoda provides an alternative to essential thinking he calls if-then signatures. If you want to understand a coworker named Jack, for example, it is not particularly useful to say Jack is extroverted. Instead, Shoda suggests a different characterization. If Jack is in the office, then he is very extroverted. If Jack is in a large group of strangers, then he is mildly extroverted. If Jack is stressed, then he is very introverted. 3. The pathways principle. Averagearian thinking dupes us into believing in normal pathways, the idea that there's one right way to grow, learn, or attain our goals, whether that goal is as basic as learning to walk or as challenging as becoming a biochemist. The fact, however, is that there is not a single normal pathway for any type of human development. This forms the basis of the third principle of individuality, the pathways principle. This principle makes two important affirmations. First, in all aspects of our lives and for any given goal, there are many equally valid ways to reach the same outcome. And second, the particular pathway that is optimal for you depends on your own individuality. The individual education. If the architecture of education is based upon the false premise that students can be sorted by their rank, then no matter how great the triumphs the system might produce, it is still guaranteed to produce some failures that we simply cannot tolerate as a society. Addressing these failures will require more than doubling down on the status quo. It will require committing to valuing the individual over the system and changing the basic architecture of higher education so that the individual student truly comes first. To transform the averagearian architecture of our existing system into a system that values the individual student requires that we adopt these three key concepts. 1. Grant credentials, not diplomas. 2. Replace grades with competency. 3. Let students determine their educational pathway. The principle of fit. Here is a principle that can bring about a most needed change in our systems. Fit creates opportunity. If the environment is a bad match with our individuality, our performance will always be artificially impaired. If we do get a good fit with our environment, we will have the opportunity to show what we are truly capable of. This means that if we want equal opportunity for everyone, if we want a society where each one of us has the same chance to live up to our full potential, then we must create professional, educational, and social institutions that are responsive to individuality.